Welcome to a new episode of the EY.AI series on the EY India Insights podcast. I'm your host, Pallavi, and in this series, we explore how AI is transforming industries, driving innovation, and redefining business models. In today's episode, we dive into one of the most exciting frontiers in artificial intelligence, agentic AI. Joining us to unpack this fascinating shift is Hari Balaji, partner of technology consulting at EY India, who leads EY India's Gen AI Center of Excellence. Hari brings deep expertise from global AI projects and insights from the front lines of enterprise AI adoption. Hari, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Hi, Pallavi. Thank you for having me.
Hari, to start off with a very basic question, could you explain to all our listeners what agentic AI is?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so let me actually start by talking about LLMs and then build from there to agents and agentic AI, right? So first of all, I think LLMs broadly are what made natural language interaction possible. They are large language models. It's what drives the likes of ChatGPT, right? But ChatGPT in itself, which everyone is familiar with, is largely limited by its training. Right. So it doesn't know what it doesn't know. It has now been augmented by things like web search. But essentially, most LLMs are limited by what they've been trained on. And essentially, when we wanted LLMs to work with live data or real data or large volumes of data, then we needed to have a setup by which we could introduce that data to the LLM and have it make some contextual inferences from that data. So that from that was born this idea of retrieval augmented generation, right? Which you can broadly think of as doing a Google search on your data and then only presenting the first page of Google search results to your LLM as context, and then saying, hey, LLM, use this and come back to me with an answer that is relevant based on just the data that's been supplied to you. Now, for a long time, this is sort of what was the capabilities of LLMs were largely limited to this until we sort of had a breakthrough in reasoning models. And this has been very hotly debated. Can LLMs plan? Can they reason? And so on and so forth. And this idea of using a chain of thought, which is giving LLMs the ability to think, reason, critique their answers, go back and reason again, come up with a better answer and so on. And then the idea of just getting an LLM to think before answering and have a set of intermediate steps, right? And sometime last year, we sort of got to a point where, especially post the launch of DeepSeek, which sort of brought all of this into the mainstream, I think we became reasonably convinced that, yes, we can get LLMs to reason and to critique and to work in a certain fashion, right? Where they are more thoughtful, they're able to plan. Now, I think therein sort of, that gave fuel to this idea of agents. Now, the idea of agents itself has been around for a while, but essentially you could now design these entities, which broadly have the ability to plan or reason and therefore to make some decisions. And we give them some tools which allow them to act. And finally, we also want to control them. So we give them some form of a budget. Right. So you have this little box which has the ability to plan and reason. It has some tools which it can use, which could be a web search or some calculators. And it has some kind of budget, right, which tells it that if it's spending too much time thinking or, reasoning and not getting to an answer, it better hurry up. Right. And that's sort of the technical way of thinking about agents. Right. And this is sort of how, let's say, someone who is more of a technical background would define or think about agents. But practically, though, this idea has taken life in a very different direction. And from a business user perspective, agents have become, in their mind, this idea of an infinite digital workforce, right? Something that can be even, let's call it an intern. But it's available 24/7 because it's able to act and, actually perform actions and drive processes. It's available 24/7. It can be scaled up and scaled down and really can drive any sort of process automation or process completion to a level that, let's say, previous generation technologies like any programmatic automation or RPA or intelligent automation or hyper automation, whatever you want to call it, was not able to do, right? So all of a sudden, it's created interest because that has now become possible, right? And so I think that's sort of, how I would define agents, both from a technical standpoint as well as a business standpoint. A technical definition of agents would be, this little box which has a mix of autonomy. Therefore, it's able to think and plan and make some decisions. It has a set of tools which it can use to drive some actions. And it's given some kind of budget, right, within which, or constraints within which it needs to operate. And it has this sort of what we call pathfinding flexibility to be able to use that tools and sort of, work towards a goal or a problem, solution of a problem and get to an answer. Whereas for a business user, agents have been abstracted away to being this digital workforce, which is available 24/7 and can be scaled up or scaled down, and therefore can drive various kinds of processes in a manner that, let's say, the previous generation of automation technologies could not. I hope that answers your question. I think quite long-winded, but I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you, Hari. Now that we've set the context, we've seen so many new terminologies come and go. So is agentic AI really important? And also, do you think, will it truly stand the test of time?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question, right? And, while no one can say with any certainty, based on everything we know today, I do think that agentic AI will stand the test of time, right? And I think there's some good reasons for that, right? So today, if you ask the average person, what do LLMs do, right? They may not have a good answer, right? No one understands. The average person probably doesn't understand what is a large language model, what is a transformer, et cetera, et cetera. But if you ask them, what does ChatGPT do, right? They'll probably have a good answer, right? So to draw an analogy, today, if you ask people, what is agentic AI? Then, they probably may not be able to give you a clear and concrete answer, right? Except if they are sort of very technical and working in the area of AI. But I think what an agent can do, or what is an agent, is actually something that people have largely understood and accepted, right? Because it sort of aligns closely with this mental model of a human performing a task, right? And the agent is essentially a digital equivalent who is trying to do the same thing, manage a process, perform a task, solve a problem. So I think that mental model sort of will stand the test of time, right? Now, how that agent performs and what is really the technology driving the agent and what is the definition of that agentic AI, that could probably change over time. But I think the idea of agents are here to stay. Now, that leaves us with sort of the one very large and open question, which is, what is that agent good for, right? So today, probably agents are operating at the level of interns, right? There is a challenge with consistency of performance and quality of performance. But over time, I think that will get resolved. And this larger idea of having a digital workforce, which is available 24/7 and which can be scaled up and scaled down, right? Those three properties, I think that is something that has definitely captured a lot of people's imagination. And it is definitely an ideal that you will see people striving for. I think it's something that people want, business leaders want that. So I think we will see that in action, and it's not an idea that's going to go away anytime soon.
Thank you, Hari. Now, pivoting towards its applicability of agentic AI, where is agentic AI being leveraged today and what are its core applications?
Right. So practical implementation wise, we are seeing a lot of our clients experiment with agentic AI. But most importantly, I think with the whole idea of AI as such, I think we have kind of moved away from doing lots of POCs to really sitting down and thinking deeply about where can AI unlock value and drive ROI. Right. So we're seeing a lot of our clients sit down now that the idea of agents is here, sit down and deeply evaluate the processes and workflows that they have across various parts of their firm and think about where agents can play a role in either shortening completion times, improving process quality or reducing a process cost, or simply sort of in a field like audit, increase the amount of coverage for a process, right? So you don't have to sample as much, for example. And I think the other sort of tenet or idea is there have been situations where people have tried RPA or traditional automation and have been limited in solving problems. And there, I think the idea of using agentic AI is becoming interesting because if you take any process that has some level of complexity and where traditional automation has faced some challenges, like, you know, I could name a pretty large list, right? Like invoice processing or claims processing, approving a loan, doing quality control of process, doing root cause analysis, automated, you know, resolution of tickets, in an industrial setting, you know, looking at various telemetry information and then coming up with a conclusion or a decision. In an HR setting, doing a talent assessment or doing KYC or customer support, or in a software development lifecycle, writing test cases or doing code reviews. I mean, there's a large list of situations where a traditional approach to automation or AI has sort of fallen short or has had its limitations. And here, people are revisiting those ideas with agentic AI simply because with agents, you have seen at least early promise of better straight-through processing rates with just some SOP and process docs, right? And some kind of natural language guidance without extensive engineering or, you know, explicit instructions, right? And most importantly, I think this idea of just having a human in the loop to guide the agent when there is an edge case and then using that to then, you know, reframe or improve the agent. I think that's become quite, you know, prevalent now, right? So clearly, this approach or this way of using and adopting agentic AI, I think that will sort of stay, and we will only see the, you know, the use cases and the applications grow from here.
Thank you, Hari. Now that we've discovered endless possibilities of agentic AI, for our interested listeners, how can they get started with agentic AI? And what are some common agentic AI use cases that you have come across so far?
Yeah, so I think I sort of covered some of these before, but let me sort of take a step back, right? And say that, look, there's an over-obsession with this idea of use cases today, right? I mean, a lot of people chasing AI use cases, but I think the larger question or a better question to focus on, especially given the promise of agents and agentic AI, is to think about processes and problem statements, right? So I think the first step really is to really run a deep process diagnostic, right? What is the current way of doing things? What are the inefficiencies of that? Has traditional automation been tried? Has it worked? Why has it not worked, right? And typically, I think that this running this process diagnostic, knowing now that you know, agentic AI exists, typically the solution is some kind of a mix of traditional automation, you know, programmatic tooling, probably even adding some machine learning in the mix, and kind of putting all of this under the control of an agentic orchestrator, right? And to offer some reasoning and, you know, decision-making capabilities along with a human in the loop as required. So I think everything is going to you know, kind of be decomposed into this mix or template, right? And you will find that processes are getting constantly made more efficient and reinvented in light of agentic AI, right? And as EY, you know, of course, we are obsessed with bringing all of our firm to clients, right? And this is especially true of AI. And we can't run this kind of process diagnostic without, for example, bringing together people, all sorts of people into the mix, right? The users, people who understand the process, domain experts, you know, people like me who are familiar with AI or agentic AI, and then also people who understand data very deeply, right? So I know this is kind of a long-winded approach for a CXO who is just looking to focus on the lowest hanging fruit and quickly take a few use cases to production. But we are sort of in the third or fourth year of AI now, right? And I cannot understate the importance of just focusing on processes and running these diagnostics. Because while this approach may take its own time, right, following this will allow us to get a very good estimate of ROI, right? And also time to delivery and manage expectations much better, you know, and sort of deliver AI transformations, you know, successfully. I know this is not like a straightforward answer to your question, but I hope that this concept or this idea or this tenet is helpful to your listeners. right, to sort of understand how to think about getting started with agentic AI. So it's always process first, right? And then, from there, sort of breaking that down into how the template of having an AI as an orchestrator with oversight and reasoning, and below that, having a set of tools or even traditional AI or ML, along with a human in the loop. So just that template, figuring out how that fits into your problem statement or process, and then designing accordingly and doing this sort of at scale, I think is what will drive success.
Thank you, Hari. Thanks for sparing your time and walking us through the power and potential of agentic AI. This conversation has certainly given us a lot to think about and to all our listeners as well. So, and also what we can look forward for the future of intelligent systems.
Hey, no, thank you for this opportunity. I hope this was helpful, and we're always available if you have questions about AI and agentic AI. Thank you.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to the EY India Insights podcast and follow our EY.AI series for more episodes like this. Until next time, this is Pallavi signing off.